This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And today, instead of talking about black holes and supernovas and the universe, today we're going to talk about inner space. We're going to talk about DNA, the DNA inside our bodies, the DNA of our ancestors. And we have with us today Dr. David Reich, a professor of genetics at Harvard University, author of an astonishing new book, a book that I highly recommend. The book is entitled Who We Are and How We Got Here. So we're going to be talking about the origin of humanity. How did we get here? How did we go from Africa all the way out to the far corners of the world? And what does it mean? For example, recently in California, they were able to catch the Golden State Killer after, well, many decades of him eluding the authorities. And they did it with familial DNA. What is that? And how is that going to revolutionize the way we see ourselves? Many people today already have signed up for 23andMe and Ancestry.com. And how accurate are they in terms of telling us who we really are? And I should also point out that if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. All we ask is that when you hear the recording, leave your name, the call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and hey, perhaps you can get on Science Fantastic. And also, if you want to find out more about what I do for a living, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is called The Future of Humanity. The Future of the Space Program. Let's push the fast-forward button and go a few hundred years into the future. Will we be on Mars? Will we be able to colonize the solar system? And will we be able to one day reach the stars? Of course, a lot of that is science fiction. However, some of that is based on science fact, because many people believe that we are entering a second golden era of space exploration. So once again, my latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity. Well, once again, with us today is Dr. David Reich, author of a fascinating new book that's getting a lot of media attention. The book is called Who We Are and How We Got Here, Ancient DNA and the New Science of the Human Past. And we should also point out that Dr. David Reich is not only a professor at the Harvard Medical School, Nature Magazine chose him as one of the top 10 scientists in all of the scientists. So, Dr. Reich, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, first question that we always ask our scientists is, how did you as a youth first get interested in science, and why specifically biology and medicine?
Well, I was interested in all sorts of things, and when I went to college, I actually started as a history major and sociology major, and then I switched into physics in my third year, and I got my degree, my BA in physics, and I was
in
graduate school. So that was my direction, but wasn't so sure that that was going to be the direction I wanted to go, or even that I'd be successful. So I had the opportunity to go to England for a couple of years, and I went to Oxford, and I started a second BA in biochemistry. I thought I might go into medicine, And I dropped out of that, and then I ended up doing some research in human history and genetics, and that's what I ended up doing. That's what I ended up doing now.
Okay. Well, let's do a few very basic definitions, because people out there may not be, they've heard these words, but may not understand what these words really mean. First of all, let's get right to the very basics. What is a gene, and how many of them are there inside a cell?
Right. So your DNA, the four letters of chemical letters, are packaged into 23 long sequences of those four letters called chromosomes, and altogether those sequences total about 3 billion DNA letters long. So genes, which code for proteins, the stuff of life that do the work in cells, exist along those chromosomes. There are about 20,000 of them in total in human chromosomes, in the human genome. And there is one human genome in almost every cell in the body. And so those genes are sequences of letters, and using the cell's biological chemical machinery, they get turned into proteins that do the work in cells.
Okay. And how do these genes then program our cells to create characteristics of the body, like our body shape, our size, and perhaps our coloration?
Right. So these genes turn into proteins. Proteins do things like catalyze chemical reactions or turn on in certain parts of the body when you need to, for example, grow a finger in a certain place or grow an arm in a certain place, or if you're a fly, grow a wing in a certain place, or develop your brain in a particular way. And so there is a whole programmed set of choreographed turning on and turning off of the activity of genes that turn on or off the production of proteins that do different things in cells. And they lead to the whole formation of the body.
Now, Charles Darwin famously in his notebook wrote the branches of a tree and said that perhaps life itself can be compared to a tree that branches out. So explain to us how one organism can gradually evolve into another by accumulating mutations in their genes.
Right. So the genome that you have that is half from your mother and half from your father. And the part that you got from your mother and father is from your mother's mother and your mother's father, for example. And so you have, your DNA is coming from two parents, four grandparents, eight great grandparents, and so on back into time. The genome sequence, the DNA letter sequence you get from each of those ancestors is actually not exactly the same as those of your parents. There's about 30 errors every generation across a whole genome sequence that get added in because the DNA doesn't get copied exactly right. It's pretty impressive that it's only 30 errors given that it's 3 billion letters long. But over time, these mutations accumulate and distinguish each person's genome from every other person's. So, for example, if you look at the copy of genome that you receive from your mother and the copy that you receive from your father, there's one difference approximately every 1,000 DNA letters. Now, that might not seem like much, but it's enough to actually measure how long it's been since your mother and father's genome separated, because mutations accumulate about in a clock-like constant way over time. And we can see that two genomes of humans today on average are separated by about 1 million years.
Okay, now here's the point. Let's go over this again. DNA, in some sense, can be used as a clock because we know roughly the rate at which DNA changes with time. And therefore, by analyzing two humans who differ by DNA, we can then estimate when they had a common ancestor, right? So isn't it true that we can use, therefore, DNA as one more clock to determine the age of organisms?
Exactly right. So,
David, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to get right to the whole question of ancient DNA and the Neanderthal and how we use DNA as a clock to measure where our ancestors came from. Once again, our special guest today is Dr. David Reich. The book is a fascinating one. Is Who we are and how we got here, and you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Stay tuned.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo! Perhaps you might be able to ask your questions or make that comment about science on Science Fantastic. Well, once again, with us today is Dr. David Reich, one of the world's leading authorities on DNA and how we got here and who we are. He's a professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School. He's done pioneering work on the Neanderthal and beginning to map out the entire human tree of life. So today we're going to talk about inner space rather than outer space. And before the break, we were talking about the fact that DNA is more than just a genetic fingerprint. It's more than just a way of determining whether or not two people are related to each other. It's a way in which we can use it as a clock. So once again, explain to us the fact that if we know the rate at which DNA changes, we can then determine when two species separated.
Yeah, that's right. So if you compare our sequence to a chimpanzee, they're about one difference for every 100 DNA letters. If you compare our sequence to that of a macaque monkey, the number of differences are 3 or 4 times or even 5 times as much. And that tells you that macaques are that much more separated from us in time than chimpanzees are.
Okay, now let's talk about the Neanderthals, because you've done a lot of pioneering work on that. First of all, when did the Neanderthals die out? Were they our ancestors, or did we coexist with them in Europe?
Neanderthals are big-brained humans. They had brains just as big as people today, and they were just as tall as people today. And they lived in Europe and Western Asia between about 400 or 300,000 years ago and about 40,000 years ago. And they basically disappeared rather rapidly around 40,000 years ago. They coexisted over this time with anatomically modern humans, people whose skeletons who look like us and first evolved in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, and most likely even in East Africa, but possibly parts of North Africa. And so these two big-brained humans were living side by side in different continents for hundreds of thousands of years. After about 50,000 years ago, modern humans began expanding very rapidly and impressively out of Africa and the Near East, and encountered Neanderthals during their expansion. And within about 15,000 years after this big expansion, the Neanderthals disappeared.
So the big question that you helped to answer is, was there genetic mixing between Homo sapiens and the Neanderthals?
That's right. There are amazing sites in Europe, especially where there's evidence of Neanderthals and modern humans living side by side, even learning from each other, occupying the same cave at different times. So these were clearly encountering, these people were encountering each other. The Neanderthals were very impressive people. They made complex tools. They clearly had culture and even belief systems that we can see from the materials they left behind. It's sort of inspired a lot of fiction, actually, writing. For example, there's a novel called The Inheritors by William Golding about Neanderthals and modern humans mixing. There's Jean Owl's Clan of the Cave Bear, Earth's Children series is also dramatizing this interaction, which we know from the archaeology. Two human groups separated by 500,000 years meeting each other, and what would that interaction have been like? But the question was always whether those two groups interacted to the point of having children and whether even those children contributed the ancestry of some people living today. Beginning in the 80s and 90s, it became very clear that anatomically modern humans expanded super rapidly out of Africa after about 50 or 60,000 years ago. And it became clear that the vast majority of the ancestry of non-Africans today, if not all of it, was from that out-of-Africa expansion. That was very much the background I came out of from graduate school. I was trained by people who helped to establish this, and that was very much my perspective. When we got the chance to sequence the Neanderthal genome, when Svante Paabo in Germany succeeded in sequencing the Neanderthal genome, a big question was seeing whether the Neanderthal genome could be leveraged to show that to test whether mixture occurred, and that's obviously what we did, and I had a role in that analysis. What we did is we tested whether the DNA letter changes in the Neanderthal matched more closely to non-African people today, especially or to African people today. And what we found with great clarity was that Neanderthal genome is more closely related to non-Africans than to Africans today. And through that observation and a whole series of other supporting lines of evidence, we were able to establish that Neanderthals interbred with the ancestors of modern humans, and that non-Africans today almost all have about 2% of their genomes inherited from Neanderthals.
Now, I understand there's been a lot of speculation about this, given the fact that 1-2% of DNA of Europeans are Neanderthal DNAs. Some people have speculated that perhaps red hair came from the Neanderthals, and perhaps other different kinds of traits which helped us to survive in a cold climate. But what are your thoughts, and what does the evidence say when we analyze the DNA itself?
There was an early observation of a mutation in a gene that is known to affect pigmentation, which suggested that the Neanderthal who was sequenced might have had red hair, but that's not been seen in any of the other Neanderthals that have been studied using much higher quality. quality method to date, so maybe it was just a rare individual. I think that the mutations that contribute to red hair are not from Neanderthals today. They are later observations. And in fact, the light pigmentation we see in East Asia and in Europe and in the Americas is clearly a late development. We can see that these are arising to do new mutations, and it's almost certainly the case that the ancestors of all non-Africans a few tens of thousands of years ago had very dark skin, like most sub-Saharan Africans do today. However, Neanderthals did contribute important mutations that affect our biology. 2% of our genome is not nothing. An example of this is another archaic human population that we also discovered in the same year from the DNA, Denisovans, and they contributed the mutation that is very helpful for people in high altitude Tibet to be able to get pregnant and have healthy babies and breathe easily at high altitudes. And that's from mixture of the ancestors of those Tibetans with this other archaic population. And there are many other Neanderthal contributions that affect human biology that, for example, affect a whole bunch of traits that we know about now.
Now, when you see a movie like The Lord of the Rings, Homo sapiens coexisted with other species, human-like creatures like dwarfs and elves and orcs. And today, of course, we don't see that, but now in the DNA, we have what are called ghost populations. So maybe the Lord of the Rings wasn't so far off. So could you elaborate a little bit more about the Denisovans? Do we have any fossil evidence of these people? What did they look like? We're talking essentially about three types of humans that coexisted, right? Is that what you're saying?
I think five we know minimally at this time, about 50,000 years ago. So there were the modern humans, anatomically modern humans, people whose skeletons look a lot like us and came from Africa. There were the Neanderthals living in Europe. And then there were these Denisovans, and we actually know of two groups, one who lived in Siberia and one who lived in Southeast Asia. And at the same time, there were these very small people from Flores Island in Indonesia. And we know that all five of those groups were living at the same time. So maybe it was a little bit like a Lord of the Rings world with groups of humans that were all toolmakers, all very intelligent, but all living at the same time and sometimes encountering each other and definitely mixing with each other, we now know. Whereas today we are much more similar to each other, and that great diversity died away after 50,000 years ago. Some people say that we are the lone survivors of that greater ancient diversity. So regarding the Denisovans are an amazing story, and for me it was probably the greatest break of my scientific career. In 2010, I was finishing up working on the Neanderthal Genome Project with my colleagues in Germany, and Svante Paabo, the leader of that project, took me out to a beer garden in Leipzig, Germany, along with another colleague who was central in that study, and said to me, we were studying a finger bone, a little pinky bone from a little girl found in a cave in the southern Siberia, and it was labeled as a modern human, but we obtained DNA from this individual, and this DNA is not from a Neanderthal and not from a modern human. It's from another population altogether, and they actually was such a high-quality sample of DNA that we got the whole genome.
Okay, Dr. Reich, we're going to take another short commercial break. Once again, the book we're talking about is Who We Are and How We Got Here, Ancient DNA and the New Science of the Human Past. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, Do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're not talking about outer space. We're not talking about black holes and the possibility of warp drive and time travel. No, we're talking about inner space. What's inside your body? Did you know that advances in DNA research have allowed us to create a tree of life? That is, we can now trace our ancestors, different migrations that took place from Africa. And one of the leaders in this technology is Dr. David Reich, who's with us here today, professor of genetics at Harvard University, author of a fascinating new book called Who We Are and How We Got Here. And so we're talking about, well, the Neanderthals. It turns out that some Europeans have 1 to 2% of the genes from the Neanderthals. And now we're talking about the Denisovans. Perhaps we coexisted with other human-like creatures tens of thousands of years ago, which is mind-boggling if you think about it. So let me ask you a quick question. What did these other human-like creatures look like? You talked about the Neanderthals, but what about the Denisovans and other branches of humanity?
Well, that's what's so exciting. With the Neanderthals, we knew a lot about what they looked like because we have their skeletons, and they've been so well studied by European scientists for 150 years now. With Neanderthals, we knew that it would be very exciting to get a genome and compare it to modern humans because we knew already that these were archaic humans that were different to us yet similar. With the Denisovans, we had no idea what these people looked like. We thought that this bone was that of a modern human, and when we sequenced it, we found it was from another population altogether. So here, instead of a fossil in search of a genome, this was a genome in search of a fossil, and the race is still on. This discovery was made in 2010. Since that time, multiple other Denisovan genomes have been obtained, but all from the same cave in Siberia, from the teeth. And we actually don't have a whole skeleton of what these, and we don't know whether all of these ancient Chinese fossils and Mongolian fossils and Southeast Asian fossils, whether they were Denisovans, because nobody succeeded yet in getting DNA from them and seeing whether they were Denisovans, the ones who lived at the time. I guess is that they were. But one thing that we do know is that those Denisovans interbred with modern humans spreading out into Southeast Asia and New Guinea and the Philippines, because people in New Guinea today, for example, have about 5% of their DNA from Denisovans, even higher than the proportion that all non-Africans have from Neanderthals, which is 2%. And so this is very exciting that it was clear that these Denisovans were spread not just in Siberia, but all over parts of South and Eastern Eurasia. And in fact, we know they were subdivided into very different groups. The Southeast Asian Denisovans were separated by many hundreds of thousands of years from the Siberian ones, and so were as different from each other, much more so than the most different human populations from each other today. And yet we still don't know what they look like. And so when we get that genome sequence from a Chinese fossil or a Philippines fossil and it matches the Denisovans, we will now be able to connect the DNA to the fossil and know what they looked like.
Okay. Now, for a lot of people, looking at ancient DNA is no more than sending your saliva to 23andMe or Ancestry.com. So let's talk about migrations from Africa and other places that took place 50, 70,000 years ago. First of all, let's take a look at the Polynesians. I remember as a kid, there was an explorer called Thor Heyerdahl, who erroneously believed that the Polynesians came from Native Americans who sailed from, for example, California, perhaps, all the way out to Hawaii. But what do we know by sequencing the genes of the Polynesians? Oh, by the way, we have to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to ask you a question. Where did the Polynesians come from? Where did the Gypsies come from? Where did the Native Americans come from? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The number to call if you want to get on national radio is 612-564-8135. And the book is called Who We Are and How We Got Here by Dr. David Reich. Stay tuned.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Star Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking about, well, one of the greatest questions in all of philosophy and science. That is, who are we? Where did we come from? Thomas Huxley, the great biologist, once said that one of the greatest questions in all of science is to determine our role, if any, in the universe. So with us today, Dr. David Reich. Nature magazine called him one of the top 10 scientists of all scientists. The book is called Who We Are and How We Got Here. Well, Dr. Reich, we talked about the Denisovans, we talked about the Neanderthals, and now let's talk about Homo sapiens. Many people believe that there was an explosion out of Africa beginning around 50 or so thousand years ago, and some of these migrations created the Polynesians, the Caucasians, the Native Americans, so on and so forth. So let's take them one at a time. First of all, the Polynesians. They seem to come from nowhere. There they are in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, for God's sake. Where did they come from?
The Polynesians came from So the Polynesians came from East Asia and New Guinea. So the first humans in remote Oceania were places far away from New Guinea and Australia, arrived there about 3,000 years ago and spread to the far islands, including Hawaii and New Zealand, by about 1,000 years ago. In these outrigger canoes that we have evidence from in the archaeological record, these canoes with logs tied on either side to stabilize them. These were incredible people, and they spread to places where people had never been before. And they spread to places where people had never been before. I'm sorry, I just lost my train of thought just a second ago. It's very interesting because if Europeans had spread across the Pacific, about 3,000 years ago, there would have been many empty islands, but today there are no empty islands. When the Europeans got there a few hundred years ago, there were no empty islands. What we actually see from ancient DNA is a big surprise. The first people in the open Pacific were entirely East Asian, derived from the place of present-day Taiwan, as we can see from the data. And then within about 500 years, there was a mass movement of people from New Guinea that largely replaced or substantially replaced the first people there. And a mixture of these people is what's now spread throughout the Pacific.
Okay. Now, I also understand that the Native Americans of North America and South America, they came in waves, not just one group, but several waves from Asia, specifically maybe Mongolia. But what's the latest evidence concerning the origin of the Native Americans?
Sure. So the first very clear evidence for Native Americans south of Alaska is about 14,500 years ago, and actually from southern Chile from the archaeological record. Some people think there's older material, but that's really the only real convincing very old evidence. The genetic data, we now have DNA from individuals as old as about 12,000, even 13,000 years old, and it's clear that the first people who came to the Americas were from a population that was ancestral to the great majority of Native Americans today, both in North America and in South America. But there actually are also now, from the genetic evidence, clear evidence of multiple additional waves of migration, one that contributed a different type of ancestry, more closely related to New Guineans and Australians, to people, some people in Brazil, and then later movements of people that contributed to Eskimos or Inuits, and also to people who speak Athabascan languages today, like Apache and Navajo.
Now, this, of course, is also a matter of legality, because certain Native Americans are claiming that ancient sites and relics, bones, fossils, deserve a special burial because they are their ancestors, while other people are saying, well, not so fast. Maybe these bones and artifacts really don't come directly from, are not the ancestors of the Native Americans of today. But what does the science say in terms of whether or not these ancient artifacts are, in fact, can be claimed to be the ancestral remnants of these people?
Well, what's very
By the way, we have to take another short commercial break. Sorry about that.
No problem.
But after the break, let's talk about some of the legal implications of this. And I'll also ask you, where did the gypsies come from? Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. Hotline number is 612-564-8135.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
If you talk, they will hear you.
Why are you getting killed like this?
I was not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we have with us Dr. David Reich, professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School, and he's pioneered the work in terms of understanding the genetics of the Neanderthal and also the early migrations of our ancestors. The book we're talking about is Who We Are and How We Got Here. And so where we last left off, we were talking about the Native Americans, and is it possible that some of the bones, fossils, relics that we find of ancient Native Americans really are the ancestral remnants of the Native Americans, or is it more complicated than that?
Well, I think it's very clear from all of the Native American skeletons that have been excavated so far and for which obtained the ancient DNA that they are from the same ancestral population that has contributed to the vast majority of Native Americans today. So that's true, for example, from the Kennewick skeleton that was published DNA from a couple of years ago, and it's true of every skeleton. And so it's very clear that there is some close relationship between present-day Native Americans and the ancient DNA from Native Americans. Now, whether those skeletons directly connect to the particular cultural groups that live in the exact same places today, that's a big open question. In fact, genetic data in general suggests that people move a lot historically and that the people ancestral to any one group today are rarely directly descended from the ones who lived at the same time thousands or tens of thousands of years ago. But broadly, Native Americans are from the same group as the ancient DNA specimens are from.
Okay, and what about the origin of the gypsies, who seem to be quite different from, of course, the native Europeans of today?
Yeah, the Roma of Europe, the gypsies, are clearly genetically descended from South Asians, which is also clear from the language. They are a mixed population of South Asians and Europeans, and we can know that they mixed over the last 1,000 years during the movement of these peoples into Europe and through Europe.
Okay, and also for people from Japan, northern Japan, there's a group called the Ainu that you mention in your book. They look Caucasian. They are some of the hairiest people on the earth, according to tales, but they seem to be quite different from the average Asian in that area. So where did the Ainu come from? Are they really Caucasians in the middle of Asia?
No, definitely not. The Ainu are genetically very much part of the broad East Asian group, the same one that's ancestral to people in New Guinea and Australia and East Asians and Chinese and the great majority of other East Asians. But they're a very deep branch of that. And the Ainu and are genetically similar, we now know, to ancient DNA from the Jomon, which is the hunter-gatherer population of Japan that was there before farmers got there around 2,000 years ago from the continent, from Asia, probably from Korea as a stepping stone point. People in Japan today are a mixture of Jomon and these Korean migrants, and the Ainu are a population with a very high proportion of that Jomon-related ancestry.
Okay. Now, some people, in my personal opinion, inject a certain amount of politics into this by saying that race does not exist at all, that there's no scientific basis for the concept of race. It's totally a social construct that we impose upon reality. But what does the science say? Is there really such a thing as race? Like when you walk out the door and just look at people, you can't help but think, well, gee, there really is something called race. But what does the genetics say?
So I think I agree very much that race actually is a social construct in the sense that it changes over time, the categories we put each other into. In the United States, for example, there's a category called Latino, and Latino refers to people who are genetically very different from each other. On the one hand, people from Argentina, who are essentially entirely European in ancestry for the most part, people from Mexico, who have about half Native American ancestry, and people from Puerto Rico, who have mostly African ancestry. The definition of what it means to be black is almost diametrically opposite in Brazil as in the United States. And so because these definitions change from place to place and even over time within a country, it is a social construct. And because they often don't correspond to real divisions of ancestry. However, there are real ancestral differences amongst human populations that reflect tens of thousands, in some cases hundreds of thousands of years of separation. And in some cases, they correspond fairly strongly to the groups that we categorize as, quote, races today. And so, for example, African Americans have about 80% of the ancestry on average from people who came to Africa as slaves within the last 500 years. Those people have been separated for about 70,000 years from all non-Africans. And so there are real ancestral differences represented in the variation we see around us today.
And isn't there a danger in the other direction of people who believe in a pure race? The Nazis, of course, being the example of talking about the Aryan race. Isn't that is also, in some sense, a fiction, the concept of a pure race?
Oh, absolutely. And that's like very profoundly falsified by DNA data. What's very clear is that no one is pure and everybody is profoundly mixed. Any attempt to harken back and invoke an idea of purity is contradicted by the DNA. Example is people who are white today. People who are white today, we now know just in the last 2 years from ancient DNA, are in fact a mixture of four groups, each as different from each other as European city stations are today, all of which lived in Western Eurasia and Europe 10,000 years ago. We see in ancient DNA how they mixed with each other and homogenized to form the not so variable group we call whites today. And people like people today just didn't exist 10,000 years ago. We are a fusion of people who were very different at that time. That's not just true with Europeans. It's true with almost every group in the world without exception. Perhaps it's not so surprise that mixture is so fundamental to who we are. We are each person is a mixture of that person's two parents, and that person is those parents are mixtures of other people, and our populations are mixtures of other populations.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time on this fascinating subject. If you want to know more about who you are, get a copy of the book, Who We Are and How We Got Here, Ancient DNA and the New Science of the Human Past by David Reich, professor of genetics at the Harvard Medical School. So, David, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you for having me. It was a great pleasure to talk with you.
Okay, so once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.